I like those parts when the voice of a male figure is raised in the song. I think Brother Depo got that from Zimbabwe by going down there and listening to those people. They thrill you with the way they sing. They prepare you for worship in sheer singing without any instrument. I encourage you to come with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And I often say we are not reading the Inquirer or the tabloids. It is real life in God's covenant people. It's real life in the church, what goes on in the church. And therefore I want you to handle the Word of God as the Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 to 14. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, "Why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come. And give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, "I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand." Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have out all men from me." And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber or the bedroom, that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom to Amnon, her brother. And when she brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee." Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, force her to live with her. This is God's word too. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. I want to speak about David's tragic legacy. This chapter begins the story of David's generation. His actions of sins are duplicated in the generation that followed. There's a text in the Bible, 1 Timothy 5:24-25, to be precise. It says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." This text is true of David. Whether you believe it or not, our lives will have an impact on those around us. If you are a parent, you can count on that. But even more so, if you are a professing Christian, this truth is more telling. The record of Amnon's sin is more of a prelude to Absalom's rebellion against his father David. So Absalom here is named first in verse 1. The text begins saying, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister." After the account with David and Bathsheba, after David silenced Uriah the Hittite with the sword and claim his wife, after Nathan the prophet confronted David the king, after David's repentance and apparent reconciliation, which was signaled by the birth of Solomon, the son of peace, after these things, divine threatenings began to take its course. God had inflicted a curse upon David's descendants. We read it a page over in chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. There we read, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son." Thy wives could mean thy daughters. This poor woman never had a husband after this ordeal. God pronounced this terrible curse upon David's line. This curse marked the generation that followed David. God forgive his sin. I don't want you to think any other way. God forgive sin. He forgive his sin for the sake of his promise. But the trail and the consequences produce the tragic legacy that you read the rest of the way. Once again, we are reminded of Galatians 6, 7, and 8. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit should of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And do not be weary of well-doing, for in due season we should all reap if we faint not. Much of what took place in the life of David and his family is a result of his own actions of sowing to the flesh. His son Amnon duplicated his own action, one in abusing his authority as the heir, the next in line for the throne, by taking advantage of his own sister, who was a pure girl. David's other son, Absalom, also duplicated his father's act by a vicious murder in killing his brother. And here in verse 1, we are introduced to some of the results of polygamy. The three individuals mentioned in the text is the result of David multiplying wives. Absalom, Tamar, and Amnon were born as a result of David's sin in Hebron. Turn back to 2 Samuel 3, verses 2 through 5, we read 2 Samuel 2, 3, 2 Samuel 3, 2 through 5, we read, "And unto David were born sons in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon, the heir to the throne of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. David loved these strange women. And second, Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Gershur. And the fourth, Adonijah of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital. And the sixth, Etherim, by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron, where he became king of Judah. Absalom's sister Tamar was the sister also of Amnon, according to this text. Yet we read that Amnon had a romantic love for his sister. Now, according to the Bible, the law of God, this was forbidden. And I offer you two quick texts you can turn to read for yourself. One, Leviticus 18, verse 9. It says in Leviticus 18, verse 9, "The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover." What he did was taboo. We read in Leviticus 20, verse 17, "And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He have uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity." By the way, God saw it, that God saw it that Amnon bore his iniquity by using his brother to kill him, even though it was murder. God executed his wrath because David wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. By the way, it should be a word to parents. rear children and don't discipline them, somebody else will for you. Mark my word. These are clear-cut laws in Israel. They are also protocol today for the safety of civil society and the purity of God's covenant people in maintaining and preserving a holy seed. Back then, to be cut off meant to be excommunicated. The church is very weak on discipline. When a man has as much wives as David had, children get mixed up in the crowd so that one doesn't know who's the brother or sister. And sometimes in the Caribbean culture, men end up marrying their sister because of polygamy. I've known this to be a fact. David's sin with Bathsheba brought a great curse upon his line. Today I will be selecting three key observations from the context relating to its moral teaching. Second, I will view this passage from a practical perspective. First, let me give you the outline that you have in your bulletin. Verses 1 and 2, a fabricated love. 2, verses 3 through 5, a foolish friendship. And 3, verses 6 to 14, a faithful sister. A faithful sister. I'll try to uncover these items this morning. First, a fabricated love. Verse 1. Came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. The text is clear. Son of David. Sister of Absalom. There's family here. Amnon's love could not have been genuine. It was an inordinate love or an inordinate affection, a love that was not supported by truth because it violated God's law. It is the love that people of the world have today. And you have to be silent with two women living together or two men. The church now can't say anything about that. It's a hate speech. They shut you down. It is a love that was driven by passion and feelings. A love at the expense of truth equals adultery and impurity. And young people, you should listen. We're told in the book of Colossians 3 that we are to put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. I'm going to tell you something. HIV is not a mistake. It's a judgment. Amnon's love was a fabricated love because it was self-seeking. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. So this love is fabricated. Not only was it self-seeking, it was pretensive love. Verse 2, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister, or better yet, the Hebrew, that he made himself sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He thought twice. He see this purity. He was uneasy about it. And Christian girl, men think it hard to approach one that is godly. God put that there in them. Amnon's sickness was self-induced, fabricated for his sister. Tamar was a royal daughter. She was guarded by palace servants. Amnon pretended that he was sick so to induce his sister. You know, David is at fault here. And I'll get to him in my next message. David was neutralized because of his sin. David is a great man that we can't match. But let us not forget his sins. I might be a great man in some people's sight, but don't forget, you're looking at a sinful man. Another reason this love was fabricated, because it was not sustainable. Look down at verses 15 through 17 that I did not read. We read in verse 15, "Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, 'Arise, be gone.' And she said unto him, 'There is no cause, there is no reason. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me.' He would not hearken unto her." The law required something when a man do this to a woman. Amnon's love evaporated into hate after he got what he wanted. Instead of him repenting of his wicked deed, he hated his sister. His love was not a sustained love. And you can tell these kind of men. As soon as that infant is born out of wedlock, he's gone. You know, at times you and I may see an item in a showroom. It happens. And I have a strong desire to have that item. Maybe an outfit or even something more expensive, maybe an automobile. But as soon as we wear that desired item a couple times, we never wear it again. I see that so many times at home. We like it, we love it, we go into L.I. Bean and we just love this outfit. We wear it a couple of times. We don't like that pair of shoes anymore. Our love was a mere desire to have. It's not a genuine love. But we are not to treat people that way, like there's a piece of item. Man is made in God's image.
Amen.
And you don't treat women that way. Man has an eternal soul. So let me ask you, what was your love for your brethren? Is it a fabricated one? One that is self-seeking? One that is pretensive? One that is not sustainable? This is not the love of God at all. It's a fabricated love. Some people want to love the Lord like this. Second, we see a foolish friendship. Let's move. We read in verse 3. "But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother." Jonadab was a very subtle man. Jonadab was more than a friend. He was a cousin. As you can see, the Bible said he was clever. Being the nephew of David, you know he's looking for something in there. The word used to describe him is the same word God used to describe Satan. Now the serpent was more subtle. and any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yeah, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. To be subtle is to be elusive, to be clever. And some Christians can be like this, clever. Jonadab stroked the ego of his cousin Amnon by reminding him of his status. Verse 4, he says to him, why are you being the king's son lean? Why are you losing weight from day to day? Will you not tell me? And Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Here you see that the two of them confided in each other's secrets. I remember one time I asked this lady in Memberi, I noticed that you are very close. You and this person is very close. Where you guys like hand and glove. She said to me, yeah, we share each other's secrets. Whatever that mean, I don't know, but I suggest nothing too good. And some of us got friends like that. We tell them all the dirt. And maybe here too. They know all the dirt. He's a foolish friend we have here. Amnon confided in his friend by telling him his treasured secret. Had Jonadab been a man of character, he would have corrected his cousin. But after all, David's son Amnon is firstborn. He's the heir. Jonadab is looking out for something. He aided and abetted an evil cause. He had an agenda, and you'll see this later in the text. He's a foolish friend. His friendship was foolish on three counts. Let me give them to you quickly. One, he gave foolish counsel. Verse 5, I read it to you. Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father comes to see you, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come. And give me food and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. The counsel Jonadab gave to his cousin and friend was meant to deceive his father. And whenever we have friends that give advice to dishonor our parents, we don't need those kind of friends, young people. You're to honor your parents. It's a command with promise. We're violating that command. And so many children get their advice from out there, but not from here. Second, he encouraged Amnon to dishonor his father. Ask your father to send Tamar to feed you. Pretend to be sick. Then when she come, you make your advances. Third reason why this friendship was foolish was Jonadab rejoiced over the death of Amnon. He was gloating. Look down at verse 32 and verse 33 quickly. We read down there. He ran to the king. He says, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead. For Amnon only is dead. But no big deal. It's not a big deal. But Absalom fled. And the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. He tell the king, that king is, it's not a big deal, it's just the heir, he's dead. Rejoice, looking for something. Foolish counsel, dishonor his father, rejoice, after the damage was done. Absalom, next son of David, sought revenge, of course, on his brother Amnon for what he did to his sister. But Jonadab hurried with the news to David. He was glad to bring tidings of God, a little piece of gossip. Did you hear? Many people today would rather consult with those who would tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Go along and do it. Everybody else doing it. I've heard that. Our world is filled with falsehood and foolish friends. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friendships do you have? Do you and I demonstrate in our church today true friendship? Or are you a foolish friend? Foolish in the counsel you give? Are you one that rejoices when a brother falls into sin? There are people like that, you know. So we have so far seen this fabricated love by Amnon for his sister. We saw this foolish friendship between Jonadab and Amnon. We come to our third point, where we see a faithful sister. This is the best part. She's named in the first verse that we read. David the king, as I said, naively sent his daughter to Amnon's house, where he made advances to Tamar. David should not have done this. He should have protected the purity of his daughter. And some of us should listen. But he sent her to the wolves. There were certain places. I remember when Dion was growing up, that I never went with her on Sundays. There are certain people that I never went around on the Lord's Day. If I go to see them, rest assured, Saturday I'm gone. You don't raise godly children by accident. You nurture them. Yeah. Some of you ain't ready to listen. We see a fearful sister. You know how I know? When Amnon made his advances to Tamar, she stood her ground. Look at verse 11 and 12. We read, and when she had brought them, the cakes, unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this foolishness. She did a similar thing as Joseph in Potiphar's house. Brethren, we do not have to succumb to the entitlements to sin. We can say, no, we can stand on our ground. We may suffer. And evidently she did. But a faithful Christian will stay their ground. Tamar is the epitome of a faithful sister. She was pure in character. She was also a student of the scriptures. She knew the Deuteronomy text. She knew the Leviticus text. Amnon knew it too. But he wasn't listening. She knew what was written in the Word of God. She responded as Jesus. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You kidding me? She called her brother's advances folly. In principle, she was saying no such thing is to be done in the church. Israel represents the church. No such thing ought to be done among God's covenant people. Tamar is a picture of the child of God. The Bible says that Amnon thought it twice to approach her before. He knew he was heading for trouble. And it cost him his life, because the wages of sin is death. Doesn't say how God will execute it, but he will. Sometimes people take off down the turnpike on Sunday. You don't even hear, all you hear is the bus turn over. God spoke. We have an Atlantic City Nights, churches. Quick thought here, brother, as I move on. Today, many pastors are failing to call out sin in their congregation. More than that, they are pandering to those who are flagrantly disobeying God. They ain't saying anything. Well, let me tell you. We all sin. But flagrant sin has to be dealt with. Many pastors pander to the disobedient, give leeway for easy divorce and remarriage. God is not asleep. His laws abide forever. And who dare me teaching a church? I don't know the Bible. When you come to me, I'm going to ask you, what does the Bible say about that? Well, you better read. But though Tamar stood her ground, she was gracious. She wasn't obnoxious. She was not out of line like some of you. Verse 13, and whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. This girl knew the law. She knew that when a man take advantage of a woman like this, he ought to marry her. And here she's pleading, go and talk to the king, marry me. Tamar besought her brother to do the right thing, to follow protocol in Israel. She demonstrated the marks of a faithful sister. I hope you're listening carefully. She demonstrated the marks of a Christian. Notice the price she paid for standing her ground. Verse 14. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice. But being stronger than she, force her and live with her. What is the worst thing a man could do? Amnon overpowered his sister. And as I was saying, turn with me to Deuteronomy 22, verses 28 and 29. And let me show you what Amnon, if he had any spunk, should have done. Deuteronomy 22, verse 28 and 29. God made provisions for this disgusting behavior. We read in Deuteronomy 22, 28 and 29. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, or the word means engaged, and lay hold on her, same language, and lie with her, and they be found, the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels. 50 is the price of redemption. 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. He disobeyed that. He threw her out. You think God was sleeping? God is going to use David's son to kill him in a fit of anger. At this juncture, I must consider again the silence of David the king on this action by his son. Verse 21 says that when David heard, he was angry. That's all we are told. David's track record had left him an impotent father, one that could not administer discipline. Not only this, but David failed to protect his virgin daughter by sending her to the house of Amnon alone in his bedroom. I encourage parents to make a distinction when your children are grown, to make a distinction with bedrooms. It is good counsel. I encourage parents to consider that. Incest is alive and well in Zimbabwe. Many men commit suicide, and I know a couple who were caught in incest. You didn't expect to hear this from a pulpit, didn't you? But this is the word of God. It has to be preached. He failed to protect his virgin daughter. At times, pastors and officers fail to protect the purity of the Lord's people. Don't speak about it. Later, we will make more applications about David's silence. Maybe next time. I say this because all men are not called to be leaders in the church. And we shouldn't question anybody about that. They vacillate under crisis. There ought to be a balance in men, leaders, with our love for people and our discipline to those who flagrantly go against the clear light of God's word. There are not many men like that in the church. David should have stepped into this matter right away. Bible didn't tell you that's what he should have done if he studied the scriptures. These are the main observations from 2 Samuel 13. A fabricated love, one that was driven by selfish desires, passion, one that was unscriptural. Two, a foolish friendship, one who aided and abetted sin. Three, a faithful sister, one who stood her ground, one who was pure, one who knew the scriptures. May I ask you, how is your love for the Savior, Jesus? Is it a fabricated love, a pretensive love, one that is self-seeking? The Lord defines love to his disciples in John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but my Father that sent me. Love is always based on truth. The scriptures. Today many will argue how much they love God, how much they love the Savior, because of the reasonably good health he gave them, or the earthly props they enjoy, they have received at his hand. But they never seek to obey God's word. In contrast, they are disobedient to the word of God. They don't want to be called out for the wrong they're doing. They don't love genuinely. Love is easily entreated, easily corrected. When called to suffer for the sake of truth, like this one, love goes through the window. Love is seen in sacrificial obedience, ready to stand your ground on what you believe. Let the chips fall where they may. I don't see it. I don't see it. This COVID was a test, a big test. Some had to be bullied to come back to church. We love God. Peter says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love cover a multitude of sins. Love don't see the faults of the spouse to remind them of their faults. And we're good at that. It covers blankets. It's not tolerant. It's sacrificial, redemptive love. It has Christ in view. You love that wife because you want to see her come to Christ. Be obedient to his cause. You love that friend that way. You open your home to them. Can anyone fault me and say I'm unloving? Can anyone fault me here today as an unloving pastor and preacher? How is my friendship? If I am your friend, would you consider me a good friend? What kind of friend are you to the brethren? Sometimes you don't show up here, you don't say anything. Do you see them heading for a ditch and say nothing? Aiding and abetting practices of sin. Make yourself sick. When she come in, just take her and go with her. Wise Solomon says, ointment and perfume rejoices the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You see that? When God speaks of ointment and perfume, he's not speaking of Chanel number 7 perfume or A&D ointment from the drugstore, CVS. Ointment and perfume are synonyms of Christ and the gospel, which is sweet to the soul. Proverbs says that the fragrance of our lives is the sweetness of a man's friend. By the counsel we gave, our friendship ought to show gospel interest in people instead of going along with them. The Lord Jesus is that healing ointment, that perfume And the psalmist rightly says, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palace whereby they have made thee glad. The smell, I never smelled Jesus yet. I don't even know if he wore perfume. But the psalmist says that he smelled with all of these beautiful fragrances, so much so that Joseph and Nicodemus came and anointed him. Your life and my life ought to show the fragrance of Christ if I am your friend. I would not aid and abet you in anything. And some of you may hate my guts because I dare to tell you, no, that's wrong. That's a friend. His wounds are faithful. But the enemy's kiss is deceitful. Here we see one, an enemy that kissed Jonadab. Cost the man his life. There's no better friend than you can have than the Lord Jesus. This is not a cliche. Rest assured, you can share your treasured secrets with him. You can bring every evil thought to the throne, like how I do. All of the junk that comes back, you can say, Lord, I am struggling with this sin. You know what he was saying? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You can trust him. You can think those thoughts like Amnon, but you can bring them to the throne of grace where you can find forgiveness. You know, I think it was Gill that said, if God was to take his hand off of some men, you don't know what they'll do in the church. And some of you men know what I'm talking about. The summer doesn't make life easy for men. But you shouldn't come into church to make things difficult for men. And some of you have a good way of doing that. One thing you will find from this friend is disagreement with your sin. Your secret sins. Can two walk together except they agree? You may also ask, what kind of friends do you keep? I give you the illustration with those two ladies in Chuma. We're good friends because we share one another's secrets. All the junk they're doing, that's secrets. Or finally, you can consider this question. Are you a faithful sister or a brother? Like Tamar, the Bible says she was pure in her moral life. That she demonstrated courage. She stood her ground. She called him out. You are like one of the, you're behaving like an unsaved person. That's what Job said to his wife. You are not a believer. You are a foolish person. There's a place for you to carry that folly, the cross. One day you may have to stand your ground if you are a Christian. If you are a young person, you will face the challenges of an immoral society. I don't care how much you guard your children, homeschool and everything, you're going to have to let them go to face society. You know, we think we can guard our children and make them moral. They are just as immoral as this one here. We were cranked out that way. Let them go. Let them face the sinful world. Teach them. One day you will face. Your parents can't protect you forever. We live in an unfriendly world. Parents like to guard their children like they're treasured objects. But you can't guard them forever. Tamar was well guarded. Royal daughter. Wasn't guarded enough. Right in the palace. Right in the church. Sin break loose. And pastors need to be on guard. They need to preach about sin and righteousness.
Amen.
It's not preach. These women think they can flash out and do what they want. Oh, my pastor said, oh, you're just a carnal Christian. If you're a Christian at all, listen to me. Tamar called him out. She answered, no, my brother. Don't force me. For no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not this foolishness. This is not church life. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you know that? And such were some of you. Or would you like to hear your pastor on the news for touching somebody inappropriately? And I've heard something here already that somebody asked a young lady. I ain't going to repeat it. But that's why I say to you men, be careful what you say to these women, young or old. It was a bold refusal to conform to this age, but Tamar paid a price. And you and I, we may not pay a price to this magnitude, what he did, but we may have to remain single. And the people don't want to hear that. Who wants to hear that? That's not how you preach. Faithfulness comes with a price. You may not want to pay that price. Amnon hated his sister. And brethren, those in the church may hate you. This is our quota. There are deep moral lessons for us in this passage. For the many practical lessons, our love for the Lord must be sincere, lest it would not be sustainable. Our love for the brethren must be real, lest we will not warn them about God's judgment. We would laugh them all the way to hell. Our faith will enable us to stand our ground. This is God's word. And may God bless his word.
Amen.
Today. Let's pray.
Amen.